Salam everyone, welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered. Today we have a special guest, Imam Ibrahim, and unfortunately he is leaving, so we wanted to get one episode out of him. And today we also have Thamur and Amina with me, and today the topic is Day of Judgment slash death, right? That's death too. And the reason we wanted to talk about this is because, you know, it's some, as Muslims, we know Day of Judgment is gonna come, death is in, like, it's written for us, and it's something that it's inevitable. And a lot of people steer away from this conversation. I personally never talk about Day of Judgment or death in general with as a normal conversation. And as Muslims, you know, there are, it's written in the Quran. It's something that we all have to, you know, answer Allah to. And that's why I feel like it's a really important conversation to have. But to start off with, I just want to start off with the Day of Judgment. It's something that, you know, that a lot of people that I've talked to, you know, fear about it. They, it, here and there, the topic of conversation comes up and they, like, steer away from it. But just in general, what's, like, a, I guess, a summary of the Day of Judgment, or, like, a small timeline of what will happen, or signs, or minor or major signs around the time it'll happen?
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Proud of what you guys are doing. As far as the Day of Judgment, I'm just going to bounce it back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be afraid of talking about it?
I mean, I personally, like, before when I was younger, I was afraid of talking about it. Right now, that's something we will talk about later too, about coming to acceptance with it. But when I was younger, the Day of Judgment, like, when I was learning about it, or even when my parents told me, it came off as a very, like, scary thought. Like, they told me all the signs, and any sign that I learned about, it just sounded so scary. And as a kid, I feel like in general to any kid that would sound scary, but now in general it's something that I'm not afraid of, because I've come to acceptance with it. Like, as being Muslim, that's something that we all have to face. So as of now, I personally am not afraid to talk about it. That's why I'm on this pod.
So being afraid to talk about it is different than being afraid of it, right?
Yeah, but then I feel like also if you're afraid to talk about it, you'll be afraid of it too, right, in a sense.
Maybe. But, I mean, if you truly did fear it, wouldn't you want to know about it? That way you're prepared for it?
Yeah, but then I feel like also people have that, like, side of it where it's just like, oh, it's like, if I don't talk about it, then I don't have to, like, think about it. And then obviously you are going to face it, but I feel like that's a way of them, like, not coming to acceptance of it. Mm-hmm. But as of now, like, obviously I'm not afraid to talk about it or to know what it is. Like, I even read about more about it, like, beforehand as well. So it's okay. Not something that I completely fear.
So the Day of Judgment is one of the most talked about subjects in the Quran,
mm-hmm.
right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions belief, you have to believe in al-yawm al-akhir, the last day. We have to believe in al-hisab. We have to believe in, you know, the judgment that we're facing, the scrolls that we receive. Some faces will be dirty and dark. Some faces will be bright and luminous. The believers will be in a haven of light, and the disbelievers and hypocrites will be in darkness. Hellfire will be brought close. The Day of Judgment is a time in which the heavens and the earth are rolled in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everyone is killed, everyone with the blow of the horn, everyone falls dead. And then in the second blow, everyone comes back. And, you know, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, everyone is running around crazy. Right, they're naked and barefoot, and their umbilical cords are hanging around. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, you know, why, if they're naked, like, isn't that not good? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that this situation is so severe, it doesn't matter, no one's going to notice, right? So this is the Day of Judgment, it's a reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya, right, the Surah of Prophets, meaning it's a central concept of prophethood. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. That the hisab, the judgment, has come near, and they're turning away from it. They're neglecting it. ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون. Anytime a reminder comes to them, it comes to their ears while they're playing, while they're at play. And so, turning away from it, out of fear of it, doesn't make sense. Because if you truly feared it, it would be on your mind, because you know it's inevitable. And if it's inevitable, then you'll prepare for it. That it's a good day for the believers, and it's a bad day for those who turned away from it. those who turned away from it will neglect its importance. And, you know, it's like an ostrich putting the head in the sand as the impending doom is coming. And they only increase in their bad behaviors that they're indulging in. And so if you truly feared the Day of Judgment, you would learn about it. And so that's an important concept, and it's a pillar of our faith. There are six pillars of faith, right? Belief in Allah, His angels, His messengers, His books, the last day, right? Life after death, and what's the sixth one?
I'm running a blank.
I was really studying this other day.
Okay, put us on the spot.
Come on.
I'm not gonna.
Destiny. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qada and qadr. These are the six pillars of faith. You have to believe in them. The disbelievers of Quraysh, the pagans of Quraysh, they disbelieved. They said, we're going to be bones and dirt, and then we're going to come back. They disbelieved. That same notion. And when they would be reminded of it, they would put their fingers in their ears, would cover their faces. They don't want to talk about it. The believers are mushfiquna minha, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They're constantly worried about it. And the ones who are disbelievers, they're the ones that turn away from it and treat it as if it's not important.
Thank you for that. I feel like going back to what you said about how one thing that a true believer does is basically fear it. And basically when they fear it, they try to get more knowledge on it. And that's one thing that it's a point that I wanted to go off of was kind of like a personal reflection is, like I said, when I was younger, I was really afraid of, you know, the Day of Judgment. But then obviously when I grew older, it kind of motivated me in a sense as well. It's just like, okay, we're all going to have to face this and we have to prepare for it as well. So at the end of the day, when we all make bad decisions, whenever like something like that happens, one thing that I helps me is just like, okay, I have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one thing that really I feel like for me in general helps me, but I feel like Muslims in general helps them as well to, you know, make the right decisions and, you know, really go back to the true meaning of Islam. Would you guys say the same thing, that that fear that you might have, or if you do or you don't, kind of helps you, motivates you into becoming a better Muslim in general?
Yeah. Well, so I went to Islamic school, as I've said in multiple episodes, but, oh gosh, I'm blanking. No. Okay, and so we talked about, stop, don't laugh. We talked about the Day of Judgment a lot in like our Islamic studies and Islamic history classes. And I remember, yeah, those classes used to terrify me because, you know, we would learn about the major and minor signs. And then my teachers would be like, you know, there's a lot of minor signs that have already happened, you know, and it would, yeah, it would freak me out a little bit. But I don't know. I guess I spent my childhood being a little scared about it, but I never like shied away from it or tried to like avoid it because, like you said, Mama, it kind of just like taught me accountability. Like I have to answer to Allah for everything that I do. And that's part of the reason that I started wearing hijab, actually, is because it's like Allah's going to ask me about that too. So I, you know, decided to, I guess, kind of go for it. And I don't know. I kind of used that to
motivate
my, like, my actions, my everyday actions.
I think I'm the same way. Like, death and this type of topic is, like, it's very serious and it's kind of, I see why you would say it is scary and it's something, like, people want to avoid. But I'm glad to be here. I want to learn more about, like, just the science and stuff and just be more knowledgeable about that. Kind of don't want to be ignorant on the topic. But, yeah.
Okay. So with regards to the signs of the Day of Judgment, there are 10 major signs, right? And then there are a bunch of minor signs, mm-hmm. right? Starting with what? What was the first minor sign?
Minor sign?
I'm quizzing y'all.
Wait, yeah, what do you right? mean? Like, there's a chronology.
Like, I don't know. There's a chronology.
To a degree, there is. Yeah, okay, the first minor sign is the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, or his prophethood. So. One of the two. When his prophethood began, Israfil, you know, the angel that blows in the horn, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He put his lips on the horn and he looked up, meaning he's waiting. Prophet ﷺ says, "I was sent as a messenger. Between my prophethood and the Day of Judgment." Is like the distance between my two fingers, right? Your pointer finger mm-hmm. and your middle finger. This is the history of humanity. All that's left is that little part, right? And so, and even if you think about it logically, it kind of makes sense. How long did Nuh alayhi salam live?
800.
1,000 years?
1,000 years?
1,000 years. He was a prophet for 950, right?
Okay, see.
He, or he called his people for 950 years. Adam alayhi salam was alive for 1,000 years. And it's only been 1,400 years since the prophethood of the Prophet. So it's pretty much one lifetime and a half of an older generation. So it's not that far from when the Prophet was sent. And the minor signs, when you actually study them holistically speaking, they have a pattern. And that pattern is important to pay attention to with what's happening politically, with what's happening society as a whole ethically.
Can you define holistically for me, please?
Generally.
Okay.
Right? So from a broad sense, you know, you see a certain proliferation of chaos. Right? The chaos is starting to spread. So let's take in a few examples. One example is the spread of riba, right? Riba becomes prominent. Look at today, every single currency is usurious. You know what that means, right?
I do not.
Usurious means that it has riba in it. It has interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So its price is not fixed. It's always changing. And so it's usurious. Every single currency on earth today is usurious. You can't escape it.
That's depressing.
Right? And the rizq of every single person is haram. Excuse me. If the rizq is haram and what they're consuming is haram, what do you think their actions are going to be?
Haram.
Haram. And so what do you see in result? You see injustice spread. You see calamities of people's actions. People start to wage war. They start to enslave one another. They start to harm one another. They start to, you know, before in a battle, people, you know, 50 people, maybe 70 people, maybe 100. Now it's in the hundreds of thousands, millions of people. How many people died in Iraq since the beginning of the war on terror? Over 2 million, right? In the millions have died. So this constant killing starts to spread. And when people are indulging in their indecent behaviors, animalistic tendencies, what do you think they start to indulge in? Haram and fahisha and fahsha. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, zina starts to become prevalent. To the point where people will have zina on the road. And someone, the most God-fearing of them, will tell them, just go behind that wall. Right? And that's the level of piety of people at that time. Holistically speaking, right, you see people are starting to follow into a trend of bad behavior, unethical behavior. They lose their sense of shame. They lose their sense of humanity.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. And so these are generally the signs of the Day of Judgment. As they start to rise, the Prophet ﷺ says, as the community starts to become more and more corrupt, other narrations mention that تَقَارَبُ الْأَسْوَاقِ, that the market becomes smaller, meaning the whole world starts to trade with one another. That's a sign of the Day of Judgment. Another sign of the Day of Judgment is that people will become so indecent that women will act like men and men will act like women. They'll impersonate them and they'll dress like them. And they'll start to act in their fashion. From the signs of the Day of Judgment are that the killer and the killed both are in hellfire. Both of them, the murderer and the one who got murdered, are both in hellfire. And so it's a situation of chaos that people start to fill the world with injustice. Now, with that injustice comes certain consequences. The earth itself starts to react, and you start to see certain droughts and certain restrictions of the earth. These are also signs of the Day of Judgment. And then after that, the conflicts arise, and, you know, some of them are the battles that happen. Christians call them Armageddon. You know, these battles that take place. Obviously, we don't have like time for a whole study of it. But naturally, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give a sickness, He's going to give a cure. And so some of the signs are actually blessings. Most of them are showing the chaos of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that corruption has shown itself on the land and the sea. Why? Because of what people have done. These are all the signs of the Day of Judgment. Many of them are very broad, right? They're just indecencies of people that they're indulging in, and drinking alcohol and adultery and zina. They're normalizing it. They're treating it like it's not a big deal, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, don't even get close to zina. Mm-hmm. Not even don't do it. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even get close to it, right? But it reaches a point where it's normalized. Everyone is doing it. And then zina is not enough, right? Perversions have to follow afterwards because zina does not satisfy the person anymore. And then with that comes a decay of the community and they start to fight with one another. And even then, you know, people are so bloodthirsty that killing a life is not enough. They have to murder in the masses. A person will walk by the grave and they'll wish that they could substitute themselves with the person in that grave, wishing that they'd rather be buried. These are all the minor signs. The major signs, you have the return of Isa alayhi salam, and he'll be under the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning he won't be a prophet. He'll be a rectifier. You know, a Dajjal will be there, the Antichrist, and Isa alayhi salam will defeat him in Jerusalem. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the two tribes, will erupt from the earth and they'll spread their chaos. They'll come out of every crevice and no one will be able to withstand them. There will be quakes in the east, the west, and the Arabian Peninsula. You know, the sun will rise from the west. A beast will emerge from the earth. And then, you know, you have the fire that comes out and it drives people to where they're going to face their judgment. And so these are the major signs. Probably missed a few. But the minor signs, the thing about the minor signs, a lot of people don't understand them, is that you don't finish the minor signs and start the major signs, right? The minor signs actually continue within the major signs. So they're not really chronological. They're more these broad concepts that occur. Some of them happen before the major signs, and some of them happen after, such as the desolation of the Kaaba, the breeze that takes the life of the believers. All of these are minor signs, but they happen after the major signs. So
another question that I did have was, I know for the minor signs you mentioned that there was some sort of pattern. By pattern, did you mean that they increasingly get worse, or what did you specifically mean by a pattern within the minor signs?
Meaning that the pattern here is like in the sense that there's a similarity that grows, right? You start to see one indecency following mm-hmm. the other, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah. Right? The rule of thumb is that entropy increases, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what's happening. Entropy is chaos is increasing and increasing until the threshold is broken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rules when he wants to send when he wants to establish the Day of Judgment. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when it'll happen. But these are things that, you know, precursors, that we know that they're kind of signaling the coming of that day. And so the more we pay attention to life around us, the more we're like, oh, snap, you know, we're getting closer.
And then there's Day of Judgment, and then there's also a whole separate thing of what happens to someone, life, like when they die. And there's like three, like you get trialed within the grave, and then there's also ways to also increase your good deeds while you're in the grave. So could you talk about more about what happens to you right when you die and then you're entered into the grave, and ways to also increase your good deeds? Because I know your family members and like even like donating, like basically after your death, increases your good deeds as well.
Yeah. Death is a minor judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a prequel to what comes after. And so if you are in the grave and you see a certain comfort or a certain restriction and punishment, that's a signal of what's to come. Prophet ﷺ, he says that the mujrim, you guys know the mujrim, the criminal, the one who used to do haram things, the one who turned away from Allah, the one who rejected his signs, the ones who did not mention Allah, the ones who did not pray, the ones who did not give in charity, the people who did not care about their deen, did not care about their creator. Those people, when the angel of death comes to them and they surround them, they come with dark faces, terrifying faces. And they come in the most vile and scariest of ways, bringing with them cloaks from Jahannam, that their stench is smelled from afar. And they say, oh, filthy soul, come out to the anger of your Lord. And the soul will start to try and run away and hide in the body. And the angels are ripping it out piece by piece. Oh, you ever see cotton, how it's ripped out of the thing? It's like ripped out and some of it stays in. So you have to constantly, it's painful. So they'll start to rip it out till they take that soul and they wrap it in that cloak. And they rise to the first gates. And the angels of the first heavens will say, who is this? What is this foul soul? Right? They'll say it's so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And they'll use the worst names that people in the dunya used to call them, right? So they'll say, these gates are not open, send him back. And so from the tip of the first sky, they'll toss him back into his body. And he'll come crashing down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهُوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they're thrown down from the sky. And so they're tossed back into their body. And when they're put into their body and they're buried, the angels of Munkar and Nakir, the angels of the questioning, they'll lift him up and they'll say, who is your Lord? And he'll say, God. And then they'll come back and they'll say forcefully, who is your Lord? And they'll say, Jesus. And they'll say, who is your Lord? And he'll say, I don't know. I said what the people said. And so they'll then hit him with a rod of iron that the creation around hears. And if humans were to hear it, to hear the screams of their punishment, they would have never loved life at all. They would have been depressed for the rest of their lives. And they'll ask them, what is your religion? I said what the people said. Who is this person that was sent to you? I don't know. I said what the people said. And each time they will strike them. And then a window will open and they'll see a place in Jannah. And they'll say, that was your place. And then a second window will open and they'll say, that is your place which you are, your abode will be, and that is Jahannam. And they'll say, oh Allah, do not let the hour come. Do not let the hour come. And the soul that's mutma'inna, that's self-assured, that's confident, has a connection with its creator, prays at night, prays at fajr, gives in charity, does good deeds, calls people to the way of Allah, brings close their family ties, you know, asks for forgiveness from people, deals in the best of characters. When they're lying there in their deathbeds, the angels come to them with bright faces and they bring with them wraps of Jannah that they could smell them from afar. And they say, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsu al-mutma'inna. Oh, you know, calm soul, come out to the pleasure of your Lord. And so they'll take it out like water comes out from a jug. It just smoothly comes out. They'll wrap the soul and they'll take it to the heavens, one heaven after the other after the other. Say, who is this beautiful soul? And they'll mention the best names that they used to call them in the dunya until they reach a Sidrat al-Muntaha. Do you know what a Sidrat al-Muntaha is? That is the edge of creation. They'll reach the edge of creation. And then it'll be said, write the book of the servant fi illiyin, in the highest of heights. Write his book. And they'll take him back into the grave. When he reaches there, the angels will question him and he'll answer confidently. Allah is my Lord. Muhammad is my messenger. Islam is my religion. Confidently. And so a window will open and they'll see their place in Jahannam. And they'll say, that would have been your place. And a second window will open and they'll say, that is your place in Jannah. And then the grave will open wide for them and they'll feel comfortable. And they'll say, oh Allah, make it quick, make it quick. And for both of them, each one of them will have someone that will accompany them. The first one will have a person who is foul, tattered clothing, looks scary, and he'll say, who are you? And he'll say, I'm your deeds, your bad deeds that you used to do. I'm here to spend time with you. And the one who used to do good deeds will see someone who's pleasant, easygoing, someone who they can interact with and love. And he'll say, who are you? And he'll say, I am your good deeds that you used to do. So this is, in short, the moments of death the Prophet ﷺ mentions in the narrations.
And then would you be able to mention also basically how to increase your good deeds when you're in the grave? Because I know like a lot of people, they either have their family members donate like either a drinking well or like they donate money to a masjid or like create a masjid within their name. So what are like other examples that can increase your good deeds within the grave?
Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions that there are continuous charities that never end. One is a child that will continuously make dua for you. The other is a tree that people will benefit from. And the scholars, they say that anything that benefits people, that tree, it brings shade to people. A well, it nourishes people, takes care of them. And then the third is knowledge that people benefit from. You teach someone an ayah. You teach someone a concept of the religion. You teach someone something that they remember you by. These are the three things that are continuous in charity. It's so easy that, you know, just mentioning what Allah means to somebody who doesn't know, and every time they remember it, they remember you. That's something that you see your record increasing and increasing and increasing. And you'll see the benefit of that in the grave. You know, having good relationships with your family is important, right? Marrying the right person is important, because what you're doing is you're investing in what will be a child who will stand over your grave and make dua for you. And so every decision you make in life is actually investing for those moments, right? What did you do with your time? Did you spend it in recitation? Did you spend it in something that you can benefit yourself and benefit someone else from, or benefit someone else with? Did you spend your time, you know, with family members that after you're gone, they'll say, oh, may Allah have mercy on them? Or are they going to say, thank God they're gone? What are they going to say about you, right? That's why family ties are important. Spending time in the masjid. Every single person that you meet is an investment. How are you going to treat it? Right? So one day, all of us are going to die. Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. Every person's going to taste death. Even the Prophet ﷺ died. Right? If anyone were to be spared, it would be the beloved of Allah. But he was not. Every single one of us is going to be put in that situation. Every single one of us is going to face the repercussions of our deeds. The best thing that you can do is invest in the people around, that they have a good memory of you, a sound memory of you, that they say, man, I remember that person, may Allah have mercy on him. And you'll see that as something that increases in your records.
Definitely. And I feel like going to what you said, one thing that's really important, and it's always something that I always hear, is really choose your friends and who you spend your time with wisely, because someone who says a good sense of deen will make you increase your own deen in it, and then they will also remember you after death as well, which is also really important. But kind of just to wrap things up, I wanted to also do a personal reflection. Was when did you guys realize that, you know, this dunya is temporary? When I personally realized this dunya was temporary, you know, it increased like my deen and I became a better Muslim personally. And I just wanted to ask, like, each of you individually, like, when did you guys realize that? And did it have, like, I hope it had, like, a beneficial effect to how you portrayed yourself and went about being a Muslim in general?
So for me, it was the death of my sister. She passed away in August. That was really difficult for my family. And she was 30, so she was very young. And I really did think that I had a whole lifetime with her, and I didn't. And it really made me think or realize that this life is completely temporary, and you never know when Allah's gonna call you back. And so you kind of have to remind yourself regularly and daily what is important and what really matters. So like staying on top of your salah, giving in charity, working towards, you know, doing the pilgrimage, fasting, all of those things, that's what's more important. Not necessarily about, I know even us as content creators, you know, like, we're thinking about like our following, we're thinking about our content and everything, but at the end of the day, like, none of that really matters. And nothing made me realize that more than losing my sister, because I'm never gonna see her again, and I'm never gonna have that chance to talk to her and just like share myself with her. And I had regrets when she passed away. There are things that I wanted to say to her that I never got to say. And that's kind of, I'm sorry, this just happened. This is, I'm wearing her today, actually. But, yeah, that really made me think about, this life is temporary. God didn't mean for any of us to be here forever. Like the Imam said, you know, he took back the Prophet ﷺ. So, of course, why would any of us be special? So, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I feel like, you know, inshallah, whoever has passed away that's close to us, inshallah, we will all reunite with them in Jannah one day, inshallah. And I feel like Amina's story is a good example for the ones that we have lost. We strive to reunite with them, inshallah, in the future. And I feel like we all personally have had a story like that where we've lost someone or gone through something tragic where, you know, it allows us to come back to reality and really realize what truly matters. And I feel like this dunya definitely isn't it, because it's very temporary. And if you guys want to add anything else, I feel like Amina really had a good example. So thank you so much for sharing that.
To answer your question, for me, I can't pinpoint exactly when I got really like woke in the sense of this dunya and where we're at with it. But I got closer to, like, I have some pretty decently knowledgeable Islamic friends, and then just being around them more, I got closer to my deen, and then I can't pinpoint exactly where, but just being in their presence really made me realize that this is all a test, and as of now, I'm more religious, and I'm trying to think of the words. I like look at it in a different lens now ever since I being around my friends' presence, honestly, and that's all I gotta say. I don't know.
Thank you for that too. I feel like we all had really good examples on really realizing what truly matters and how to better ourselves as Muslim. And just to close things off, thank you, Imam Ibrahim, for coming on and sharing us, you know, with all the knowledge that you have. And Amina, thank you for sharing your personal story as well. Really, I feel like it really helped us, you know, understand what this life is truly about. And hopefully to everyone who is watching at home, you know, the Day of Judgment, death is nothing to, you know, to be scared away from. It is something we all have to face. And like Imam Ibrahim said, it's a sign of like a true believer being afraid of it and wanting to know about it and prepping for it. It's something that we all have to face. And then inshallah, you know, with anyone we have lost, we reunite with them in Jannah as well. Other than that, thank you so much for everyone that's watching. Please watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Instagram, Spotify and Apple. And other than that, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.